perseverance has probably been the one skill that I've had that's been able to get me to where I am, because there are many times, even knowing that I had a much better chance of success, not guaranteed, but much better chance of success because I had the insight from others, other mentors and everybody else to be able to succeed. And yet I still didn't think there were sometimes I would be able to make it through some of the things I had to deal with. But just being able to hang on when others have let go, and there have been others that were in my position that did not, unfortunately, make it through the programs and all that stuff, being able to hold on through all of those times and continue trudging forward and doing exactly what you need to do is probably the best thing I can recommend, because it's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy.
Welcome to Vegas Circle Podcast with your hosts, Paki and Chris. We are people who are passionate about business, success, and culture. And this is our platform to showcase people in our city who make it happen. On today's podcast, we're going to be discussing building a successful franchise with McDonald's owner and operator of Fresco Corporation. We got Mr. Chris Smith. Welcome to the circle, bro.
Thanks
welcome,
a lot.
Welcome.
Thanks for having me. Glad to meet you. And nice to meet you.
Yes.
We got two nice Chris Smiths in the room. But it's been excellent, man. You came on our radar from my wife, and you guys recently had an article that came out that showed that you guys opened up your 17th McDonald's franchise.
That's right.
Which is awesome. And like we were talking about offline, McDonald's is one of the top franchises out there, period, which is amazing to be able to accomplish what you guys have been able to do. We'd love to be able to get into. So the first question I got for you is your biggest motivation for you starting Fresco Corporation and becoming a McDonald's franchise owner, and kind of just how you started the business and kind of that story.
Awesome. Well, first off, thanks for having me here. Thanks for catching that article. That's awesome that you were able to see that. And Mass Media, who was behind that, did an amazing job with all that. So really good to hear that. I will clarify, though, that Fresco Corporation, I'm a partner and co-owner of Fresco Corporation. So my father, Ron Smith, is the other owner of that. And he started the company, actually. So we kind of talked a little bit before the show about that, but I'll kind of go into a little bit of detail. My parents moved to Las Vegas with me, of course, 1996, where they had their first McDonald's restaurant in College and Horizon. They built it up to 12 until they got divorced in 2010, and then they split and had different organizations. My mom ended up leaving the business, but my father, who continued that, gave me a call when I was on the East Coast doing some other things, asked if I wanted to be a part of this. And of course, to your point, McDonald's being the best business in the world, much less franchise, I couldn't pass that up and decided to come back and learn everything from the ground up to do that. So just to be clear, he started the company and all that stuff, and I helped build it to where we are now. And we work together on a daily basis and very well. Awesome.
How are you guys built this? So you guys actually have 17 actual businesses here in Vegas?
Yeah, all in Las Vegas, about half, let's say, in Henderson and half on the west side. We actually just was able to purchase from a longtime colleague and friend of ours a few on the north side as well. So yeah, all here in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yeah. How hard is it from the beginning, right? Because I know there's got to be a lot of red tape, right? So you guys look for specific locations. Is there specific real estate that you guys are looking for? Like, what's that process like from the first time to, like, I know you guys just opened up off Fort Apache and kind of in that area.
Yeah.
I think it was Fort Apache and
Mall. It's Fort Apache and Mall.
Okay, that's
a mall, the new street that just opened up. It's right next to the Durango Casino, whatever. So, yeah.
Yeah, so prime location, right? How long did it take for you guys to actually find, like, that space that you wanted to have?
So I'm going to let you in on a little secret. We actually don't do any of that at all. McDonald's has an amazing real estate team that scouts all this stuff years in advance, finds out what the best locations are, and because it's McDonald's, they get the best deals on those things. I'm sure everyone here by now has probably watched The Founder.
Of course.
First and foremost, real estate company.
Yeah.
That's where that goes. They are absolutely outstanding. I would love to actually just kind of be a fly on the wall and see how they actually do all that stuff, because it's incredible the locations that they pick. Mm-hmm. And just to kind of emphasize that, the location that I first got into McDonald's with, me personally, as I was training to become an owner-operator, was on Blue Diamond in Durango back in 2013, and there was nothing there at all. And then they built the restaurant, there was still nothing there, and then all of a sudden, we look at what it is now, there's everything on Blue Diamond going down. So it's incredible how they're able to have the foresight to find those locations and figure that out. So just wanted to make that clear that we didn't scout anything out. Yeah. What happens is they'll find a location, they will choose a site or whatever, and they will find qualified owner-operators to be eligible to, you know, purchase that location or whatever, and that's how that works.
Yeah. So when you have one, does it make it easier to kind of expand in that location? Do you get like preferred treatment, I guess, versus somebody who wants to break into that owner-operator? Or do you have to be a preferred owner-operator to get those opportunities?
Those are some pretty specific terms that you're using, and it gets a little complicated, but the best way to put it is that the longer you've been in the business, then the more you're able to show positive results
makes sense.
For the company and your company and everything else, then that makes it more likely for that to happen.
So as far as I know, it's a lot to it, right? Because you obviously have McDonald's as a Burger University is where you have to actually go to learn.
Hamburger University.
Hamburger University. Yes. Okay. So you actually have to go, like, kind of walk us through that process. So like you get trained for an owner operator. How does that work? Do you have to go for 3 years, 4 years? How does that, how does the whole process work?
So what makes it interesting, and I guess we're not going to do backgrounds in a linear fashion, so we'll just kind of jump around as necessary. But the way it kind of works is that you apply either by the Next Generation program, which I was eligible for because my parents were already in this. Right. So I am what we would call the Next Generation in this, or second gen. There's others that are coming in from completely different industries that don't have any family that is involved with this. They're called the Registered Applicants.
Okay.
And it's a similar application process, a little bit different in how it handles, but the way that it goes from start to finish is it varies.
Okay.
There's no clear path forward. It's kind of, I don't want to say subjective, but it's kind of a subjective path as to whether or not they decide if you're ready to become a certified owner operator type thing. So it can take as little as 9 months to 9 years, depending on depending on how things go. Me personally, I think it took about 3.5-4 years for me.
Okay.
So they have to give you like a green light before they allow you to kind of, it's not necessarily like you just do this coursework and you graduate.
No.
It's like they have to give you a green light to move forward.
Absolutely. And at one point, I think this is still true, but at one point I believe it was statistically easier to get into the NFL than it was to become a certified owner operator with McDonald's.
I could see
So I'm pretty sure that
that's a strong statement. I mean, I applaud you to be able to do that. That's a hell of a
No, I mean, don't quote me because I heard that from somebody, but I'm pretty sure it's true, especially seeing what I've seen in the industry. But so when I first decided to come into this, I started, I mean, pretty much from the ground up, had to learn everything. Did that for about 2 years before I even was able to actually apply into this program where they will be grading you and judging you and everything else for that. And the requirement for that at the time was that you had to become the general manager of a restaurant. You had to have a certain equity stake in that. So you had to actually buy into all this stuff because they don't want people, you know, just kind of coming in and just kind of freeloading or leeching off everybody else. So they want you to have some stake in all this stuff so that your heart, your passion, your full time and best efforts are involved with that. Yeah. And so I did that 2013. They opened up Blue Diamond in Durango, and that's where I became the general manager of that restaurant for the 4 years until it took me to become an owner operator.
Yeah. That's exciting, man. Yeah. But that's a lot of work, man, to be able to do that.
Which
is this the hardest thing that you've pretty, I know you've done a lot in your past. Is this the hardest thing you've actually accomplished and continuing to keep doing?
I will have to say, even after all the things I've been through, yes, absolutely. And thankfully all the things I've done has prepared me for that. Yeah, but absolutely, it was one of the most challenging, still is, one of the most challenging things to do, but also one of the most rewarding.
Yeah.
So I can't overlook that.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's kind of a challenge. So basically they put you through this whole process, right, to be able to become a franchise owner. And then, but on top of that, they're really intensive from a capital perspective, right? So like, it's almost like you have to have money to then be trained to even go into it. It's a huge barrier of entry.
Yes, it is. And it's a very significant unencumbered capital requirement that was required for registered applicants and everybody else coming into that. So it's not easy. It's a very, very difficult obstacle to get through. Although things are changing now. There have actually been a lot of changes with that program and with the company in general. I'm sure people have seen the news, so you can kind of see that there's some changes that are happening.
Sure.
So, but yes, regardless, there's no easy way to put it. It's not easy.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. How do you kind of stay afloat with all this innovation, right? So I'm seeing you got some of these humeless stores that are opening up, I think in Texas, Colorado, from my understanding, just opened up in Vegas.
Yeah, they opened in Vegas.
Yeah, but opened up. And I'm curious, is that one of your guys' stores?
No, definitely not. And actually, to be honest, I'm not even familiar with the one in Vegas, so I have to check that out. I know about Texas, and I guess Denver was the other one. But
Fort Worth, I think it was what I was reading. Yeah.
So we've always tried to stay on top and ahead of all of the technological innovations that are happening. When there was a really big push a few years ago to remodel and modernize all of the restaurants to what you're seeing right now. Mm-hmm. We were,
which looks great, by the way.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it looks great. Yeah.
In addition to the kiosks and the what we call the experience of the future at the time, where we had a guest, we had a greeter that would actually like work with you, kind of like a host, so to speak. So we were one of the first organizations to go all in on that and ensure that all of our restaurants were modernized, upgraded, and all that stuff at a very accelerated pace. So we try to stay ahead of all of this stuff. As far as the innovation goes, that's kind of in a test right now. So it's not really widely available. And it again, like I said, still in a test mode. So we're not going to be seeing a lot of that until sometime down the road. But it's definitely on the radar. And it's interesting to see how that's developing.
Yeah.
Yeah, with it, do you get a lot of flexibility compared to like the corporate stores? Or is it pretty much you have to be super consistent with what's offering? Is there like a, they roll out something at a corporate store and you have to do it regardless, or do they give you a little bit of flexibility there?
Yeah, I'm just, that's an interesting question. Let's see, what's the best way to put this? There's not really a whole lot of flexibility when it comes to that.
You want the standardization of
Yes, and that's what makes McDonald's known all around the world, is how consistent it is, with whether it be menu or service, or just, you know what you're getting and you know what you expect when you walk into a McDonald's restaurant. So they try to make sure that that stays consistent across the board, all over the globe, and specific to the United States. We have menu items. Some markets are able to vote on certain things and some others. For example, if you go to the East Coast, they have bagels in the morning. We do not have that here on the West Coast, for example.
Probably New York, I would assume, right? Probably
New York, I believe, does. I think Boston, maybe a few other places on the East Coast. I'm not sure exactly where, but we won't have those.
Okay. So property specific, market specific. Yeah.
Right. Go to Hawaii, I'm pretty sure they have spam there as well. So they do, stuff like that. So like they have some regional things that we won't get, but otherwise, for the most part, it is consistent and the menu is pretty much the same across the board.
Okay. Is it the same with like pricing too? Because I know I go to some McDonald's locations and some are way higher than other ones. And I'm like, I thought I was supposed to be consistent.
You started laughing. Yeah, you started laughing immediately. Depending on the market, I was
No. It's a little different. So, without, this isn't a secret. Other than our main competitors, we're always adjusting pricing for the mini market that we're in and the area that we're in. So an area that's in, say, Henderson will have possibly different pricing than something in Summerlin versus something in North Las Vegas. Stuff like that. So it does vary between organizations, depending on how they want to do that. It's all within a certain range, so nothing's going to be completely out there. Yeah. But again, everyone's always constantly adjusting prices to see what fits that market the most.
Oh, so you do have flexibility within certain parameters.
With pricing, yes, we do. Yes. Menu items, not so much. But
Interesting. So I see things like, right now they just did the Mac sauce little packets. Like every McDonald's will have that? Yes. Or is it, so that's consistent?
Yes.
That was a personal question.
I'm a McDonald's fan.
Well, surprise us. Yes.
That's hilarious.
The Vegas Circle podcast is brought to you by RAC Financial. They help new and established businesses with simple, secure, and reliable payment processing. RAC's credit card merchant processing services are unmatched. Visit racfinancial.com today and mention Vegas Circle Podcast.
How hard is it, right? So like you've got the Fresco Corporation that you guys have built. So you hire GMs for each of your stores and just trying to find the right person to manage it for you.
Yes.
What's kind of like your day-to-day like? Is it you're hitting each store to kind of make sure everything is flowing correctly, or how does that work?
My dad and I used to love being able to hit every store on a daily basis, but once we grew to the number that we had, it's almost impossible. I don't want to say it is impossible, but it would take most of the day to do that and we wouldn't be able to get anything else done. So what we've done is we've kind of divided that up a little bit. I'll hit a few every few days or so to see what's going on. There's a few that I visit more regularly than others, but it's a little difficult to see everybody every day. So a lot of it has to do with managing the teams that we've been able to build along the way, which in all honesty, when you get to an organization of that size, it's all about the team that you have. So it's not just about us. I'm not going to say that I did this by myself, obviously. And Ron would never say that as well. Ron, my father, we have an amazing team behind us that helps us with everything and does an amazing job with that. So we work with them to delegate things as appropriate to the supervisors and then to the GMs and then to the shift managers and everybody else that we have in that chain of command. So,
And this is a 24 hour operation from pretty much all of your stores.
Pretty much.
So you got to be, that's why you got the 800 employees to be able to make sure everything is flowing correctly. So
pretty much. And COVID put a little bit of hiccup on 24 hours, but for the most part, yes.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And, you know, you have so with that, like, do you ever see it scaling to a point where you can be hands off totally, or is like the way it's set up is you have to be involved? Like, is everything kind of roll up into that funnel into that franchise agreement with all those stores?
So to be honest, I wouldn't even want to be completely hands off because I actually really do enjoy doing all this. So I wouldn't really want to be completely hands off and let it be on autopilot. But that said, there's also this thing in the franchise agreement where you do have to have full time and best efforts in the business. So you can't just have this doing it by on its own while you go and do something else.
That makes sense.
So yeah. And of course that makes sense if you think about it. Again, we're talking about consistency and what we want across the board. So you want to make sure that the owner operators of these organizations are heavily involved in the business. They're not just leaving it to everybody else, and that they are actively making sure that they are performing the best that they can on a daily basis. So makes sense.
And in those agreements, they allow you to, like, say you did want to branch off into another franchise. Do you have the ability to go and, like, open a Burger King's?
No, that would not work at all. Nothing that has to do with food and beverage. There are other investments that you can perform in stocks, real estate, whatever. Yeah. But again, full-time best efforts, that needs to be your first priority. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that makes sense. Yeah. And nothing that's a competitor.
Yeah. Or that was my question that I had. Yeah, that was literally the question I wanted to know. Can you buy any of this? That's hilarious. Yeah. What about general advice for somebody that, let's say, they wanted to go open their own McDonald's franchise? What would be some best tips that you would recommend for them?
So a lot's changed since I first got in. So I would argue that it's actually a little bit more difficult now than even when I got in. But the first thing I would actually recommend is to find a mentor. If I was doing this completely by myself, I don't even know if I'd be able to make it this far this quickly. Probably would have taken me another 10 years or something like that. There's a lot to learn. It's a very steep learning curve. And there's a lot of things that, you know, it really helps to have somebody who knows this stuff, how it works, to be able to help you learn and become successful quickly. Sure. So that would be probably the first thing I'd recommend, is to find a mentor, find somebody who's in this industry, somebody who wants to work with you, somebody that you would want to work with. Maybe shadow them in the business for a few months or whatever, or even work with them or in their restaurants, learning from the ground up like I did, to be able to do that. Assuming, of course, that this is not a next generation candidate, that we're talking about somebody from a completely different industry that has nothing to do with it. So
who's been kind of some of your mentors that have kind of helped you, you know, consistently? Obviously, other than your father, I would assume has been a big impact for you. Who else has kind of been that impact?
Well, okay. So, of course, definitely my father. And I'm not just saying that because, but yes, definitely I've been watching him do this my entire life. I've been watching my mother do this pretty much my entire life as well. So learning from my father and my mother, how they were able to run the business. And even as a kid, not really understanding much other than how fun it was to play in the back when I probably shouldn't have been. Understanding
all the liabilities and everything.
Understanding what they did and all the sacrifices that they made to make all this work and seeing what it took to actually run this business, I guess kind of passively prepared me for that when I started to actually comprehend what really all that meant. So,
it was a different respect, I would assume, man, to be able to understand how you've been able to build it. Yeah,
absolutely. And I don't want to say I ever took anything for granted when I was too young to understand it. But at the same time, like, I have a completely different understanding about it now and what it took to take to put into all that stuff and bring it to where it is.
Yeah.
There's some other owner operators, actually pretty much all the owner operators, specifically in Las Vegas, who I work with very closely, have been amazing mentors and amazing people to work with. And we've done a lot of things together. We've partnered and made some outstanding contributions to the city as well as our restaurants and everything else. So all of them have been really great too.
And with that, do you know, so a lot of franchise, I assume they're trying to go and do a market, you have to, like, own a territory. Does McDonald's not have that same kind of territory regulations because they are so large and there's so many of them, it's impossible for one person to kind of corner the market per se?
Yeah. So it's interesting. There are, every organization has a different number of restaurants that they own for various reasons. We are the second largest organization in Las Vegas. So there's another organization that has quite a few more than we do. But nonetheless, it's kind of like anybody has the opportunity to be eligible for any kind of new builds that come out or any sales between operators that might happen should one want to move or retire or anything else like that. So it's not restricted in that way. Everybody who is eligible has the ability to be able to purchase. The thing is to make sure that you're in that position to be able to do that when the opportunity surfaces.
Yeah.
And with that, because, you know, once you hit the 17, does it feel like it gets easier and easier to open new stores? Is it almost like you kind of go down that you know, ripple effect where you can go to 30, you can go to 40, or is it, it has to be like one at a time slowly?
So for our organization specifically, this is the first new build that we've had since 2013.
God. Oh, so yeah,
actually. Mm. So, and again, COVID kind of put a, you know, a little bit of a hiccup in some of the development plans that I was, assuming were going to happen. So maybe we're starting to catch up now, but yes, it's not like there was a whole lot of building new restaurants at the time. It was a lot more sales between operators, people leaving, people coming in, that kind of thing.
Yeah. This is also interesting to me.
Yeah,
there's a lot to it.
I mean, it's like when we first talked over the phone, it's like McDonald's is like the number one franchise, period. You know what I mean? And us being a business show, it's just, it's exciting to be able to see, like, we really applaud you to be able to do what you guys have been able to do. It's freaking awesome. So. Just right off the bat. But for business advice, with us being a business show, I know I just asked you recently about, you know, building a franchise style business. Could you bless our listeners just with a gem of business advice where just in general, they want to become a small business owner and kind of your thought process of what that would be for them?
I don't think I'm going to say anything that you probably haven't already heard on your show, but the one thing that has stuck with me is that perseverance has probably been the one skill that I've had that's been able to get me to where I am, because there are many times, even knowing that I had a much better chance of success, not guaranteed, but much better chance of success because I had the insight from others, other mentors and everybody else to be able to succeed. And yet I still didn't think there were some times I would be able to make it through some of the things I had to deal with. But just being able to hang on when others have let go, and there have been others that were in my position that did not, unfortunately, make it through the programs and all that stuff, being able to hold on through all of those times and continue trudging forward and doing exactly what you need to do is probably the best thing I can recommend, because it's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. I can only imagine outside of a franchise model, like with franchises, of course, we have a lot more resources from the corporation. Sure. Starting a business completely from scratch without any branding or recognition must be much harder than that. So just hang on, persevere, and you'll make it.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's great advice, especially for sure. Just don't quit. It's the bottom line. Don't quit when it gets that hard.
I mean,
what were you telling yourself? I mean, if you going back just real quick with, you know, it's harder to, you know, get through the NFL. Like, what were you telling yourself to just get through the program?
I don't think I was even telling myself anything. So
just doing it.
Going back to some of the background stuff, went to military high school, went to military college, and all that stuff. So, and was able to earn leadership positions in both of those settings. So I kind of just know how to deal with tough stuff in general, much less things I did outside of school after that. And I kind of just relied on the things that I learned from that to just continue going forward. And while it's a little bit different, there's a lot of similarities to it as well. Lack of sleep.
For sure.
Doubting whether or not you're doing the right thing. Saying, did I make a mistake? Is this really what I want to do? Whatever. And but just being able to push through all that, I just did it. And,
made it happen. That's good, man. Just transition a little bit. We always ask people about the restaurants. Man, what's your favorite when you're not eating at McDonald's or if you eat at McDonald's, what's your favorite restaurant in Vegas?
Okay. So I won't say McDonald's because I do eat at McDonald's daily and that's my obviously go-to answer. But you know, one of my favorites, I got to admit, is Cleaver.
Steakhouse.
Absolutely amazing. That's like my go-to for,
must be a Chris Smith.
He was just talking about that. Cleveland's great. I like them. And their other, they have a sister property.
Herbs and Rye.
Herbs and Rye.
Exactly.
I haven't been to Herbs and Rye yet, but I got to check that out. But shout out to Cleveland.
They're
food.
They're absolutely great
service
incredible.
Too. So, what else are you concentrating on for 2023 and just coming up?
Again, going back to trying to stay ahead of things and the technology and all that stuff. McDonald's is changing. The world is changing. Just trying to stay ahead of that, making sure that we are relevant to our customers. Right now, I'm in charge of a lot of the digital things that you'll see with our mobile app and loyalty and everything else like that. Okay. So trying to make sure that we're maximizing all of that to give the best experience to our customers. That's kind of what I'm doing. As far as that goes. And I'm always trying to just keep my eye open for the next emerging thing. So there's a lot of things outside of McDonald's I keep an eye on as well, just on the tech side and all that stuff. So yeah.
But the talk offline, man, pick your brain on that stuff. So
love to do that.
No, again, man, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show, man, and be able to understand, you know, just a little bit of a glimpse of what you do on a day-to-day basis. And heck of an accomplishment for the 17th, and hope you continue to grow. So,
awesome. Well,
appreciate you, man. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot. Good to be here. Thanks a lot.
VegasCircle.com. So thanks a lot, Chris. Yep. Thank you.